This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, Michael. I couldn't help myself. Had to get into the political debate. Not really political debate. The Canada-USA debate. Some are turning into a political debate. And had some fun with that. So we're gonna talk about that a little bit. Big game tonight for the Colorado State Rams. Can they keep things cooking? Garrett Bowles told the Denver Post something, Sean Keeler something, kind of fascinating. And it lends itself to a lot of what we've talked about as far as being very careful who you bring over to Denver with this locker room. We'll get into all of it. The whole show starts now. Good to see you, my friend.
It is good to see me.
I had to get into silliness last night, I decided. Now, Michael, I put up a post last night, a little poll question, if you will. And I said, are we a little pissed at Nate Dogg, Nathan MacKinnon, for how he handled the loss to the greatest country that ever existed? Yes, kinda, not really, hell no. Not really was 39%. Listen, man, I'm not really pissed. And if you hear his comments in full context, he does give Team USA the credit that they deserve. But he did, at the end of his comments, say, you know, I'll let you be the judge of who was the better team tonight. Michael, what we know what that means. I'll let you be the judge of who you think the better team was tonight, especially when you're referencing, you know, when you're talking from the losing team's perspective. I'm not trying to, like, it's not sour grapes or anything. Nate Dogg's going to be awesome the rest of the way. He's probably going to be extra motivated the rest of the way. But I got this one from a Canadian fan, Michael. Sports guru says it was a fluke with middle school overtime rules. We have to finish up the floor hockey tournament in the gymnasium. Okay, just have them play 3-on-3 to get it over with. And then he writes, Michael, nobody in Canada cares anymore. And it's your country's defining moment, is what the person said. So I retweeted that and said, bro, hockey is our fourth best sport. It's all you guys have, and now you have silver.
Hey, they have lacrosse.
Nobody cares about that. I mean, I'm sure the lacrosse players are fantastic and all that if you're into it, but Michael, we care. We don't care. And then he's going on with me saying, hey, what's the medal counter and how many gold medals has Team USA won compared to Canada? And Mike, I don't care. The only time Americans care about the gold medal count is during the Olympics. We're not going, I'm not going to sit here, you're not going to hear radio show hosts throughout the country next week even go back and say, man, if we really would have had that better curling output or better skiing output or whatever, we could have got more. No one cares after the Olympics.
They'll care more when it's in L.A., but
no, they still won't.
It's not that big of a deal.
You're not. We don't care, Mike. What do we care about?
We care about, like, our regular sports.
Who won the Super Bowl? Who lost the Super Bowl? Who's going to the NBA Finals? Who's going to win the World Series? I mean, that's what we care about. Who's going to win the Stanley Cup? We don't care about the gold. I mean, we care while it's happening. But I just think it's funny. Mike's texting in. Actually, curling is a bigger sport. With 90% of the world, curlers are from Canada. And LAX is one of the official sports of the country. Okay. No.
Did you say LAX?
I guess.
Isn't that an airport?
I thought so.
Not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, Darth says, overtime rules that everyone knew about well beforehand. If they didn't like 3 versus 3, then maybe they should have beaten us when it was 5 versus 3. And now you're getting some people that are taking this to the level of, oh, come on, America, you just need to be a good sport about it. Like, Americans are saying this. Writers in Colorado are saying this. Enough of the trash talk. Mike, what the hell? So suddenly, because it's country versus country, we can't talk trash to each other?
Yes, we can.
Lakers fans rip me up all the time. And that's fine. That's part of it. Why can't we make this a bigger deal? It's fun. This is a blast to do. This is the only reason I get into the Four Nations tournament last year was because of all the trash talk and the political trash talk surrounding Team USA and Team Canada. And at the end of the day, politics aside, I'm rooting for Team USA to beat Team Canada.
I'm kind of the same way, but from the way I see it, if Team Canada happened to beat Team USA in the first round, I'll probably end up going for Team Canada because they're
probably
closer to us.
Well, and they also have Nate McKinnon and Kale McCarr.
Yeah.
Devon Taves.
These aren't a big deal to me.
No.
I know that there's some tension between the two countries, but it's like I'm not involved in that tension. I like sports.
I like the tension of sports. It's fun. Sports Guru says, he said, which country has more gold medals in their best gold medal performance at the Winter Olympics, Canada or the United States? I don't know, and I don't care.
Which one has more in the Summer Olympics?
Don't care. Still don't care.
Yeah, who cares?
I mean, I care while it's happening, and that's about it. Go Pokes. Come on, Brady. You know they're pissed. They lost, and they still have to live in Canada. The only thing they got from their sport has a couple teddy bears. Canadian tears make me happy. Listen, I don't hate like when Canada talk comes out and get it, it's a political thing, whatever. But when they started talking trash, and when I start getting comments like, this is your big deal, like we don't even care anymore, this is the biggest thing that you've ever had in America, I'm like, what? No, how many times on the show have I said I'd rather the Nuggets win a championship than Team America win a gold medal? The Avalanche win the Stanley Cup, then Team America win gold medal. That's how I feel. These are the sports that I watch on the daily, on the nightly. These are the ones I invest my time and energy into. So therefore, as a fan, that's what I care about. I wasn't doing a full preview of the Olympics and the contestants and all that. No, I'm watching it because it's on. And then as soon as I turn the TV off, I won't think about it again, save for hockey. Why? Because it's a sport we follow here in America and on this show.
Well, if you want a good trash talk, just say, oh, yeah, Canada. Well, Jim Carrey's American now.
I don't even know what that means.
He's a Canadian. He was a Canadian guy, but he's now American. Have him now.
Jim Carrey hasn't been funny in a long time, though. Is that a bragging point?
He's still funny. Have you seen the Sonic movies?
No, I'm 40 years old, Mike. No.
They're pretty funny.
Are they? Yeah, I bet.
And he's
good.
A great dramatic actor.
He hasn't been anything good in years.
He's in the Sonic movies.
That's not... Okay. Gavin, my child's not into Sonic, so we don't watch it. So I haven't seen that one. Now, Winnie the Pooh, I could tell you a few things about. He's still into that. First Advance text line, 888-530-0043. Michael, it's just... And the other side, too, like, just be a good sport about it and move on. Dude, why would we move on? They're still bitching that it was a 3-on-3. It wasn't even a real thing. You guys had 5-on-3 opportunity and didn't score. So what are we talking about here? And you all knew about this. Everybody knew about the rules. You can't complain about something once it's over. Once you know the rules... You know, when Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes are battling it out in overtime, sure, did they change the rules after the fact? Yes. But you're Josh Allen and the Bills. You can't go walk away from that and say, well, if we would have had the ball, this is be... No, that's the rules. Those are the rules.
Yeah, and I seem to recall Josh Allen not saying anything about it.
Correct.
The fans said stuff about it, and the fans have been saying stuff about that for years, but Josh Allen didn't say anything about
it. Well, if you want to complain that 3-on-3 is not the right way to do it in overtime, fine. That goes for Team USA, that goes for Team Canada. But don't use that as, well, we would have won. Because I'm sorry, there happened to be a goalie that was on a different planet that day. Hellebuck was in a different world as far as that game went. And you couldn't get much by him. You had open netters. You had the greatest in the country. Well, in his country and our country, Nathan MacKinnon, in my mind, with a wide open shot and he missed. Devon Toews had another pretty much open shot. And Connor Hellebuck turns around and bats that away with a stick. It was an epic time. And for us to enjoy it, great. But then when Team Canada comes in with, well, it was a BS overtime, that's when I start to say, well, no, it's not. You might say the format is BS, but that's not the reason you won. We'll never know. Because you didn't win in regulation, so why would we assume that you're going to win 5-on-5 in overtime?
So take away the U.S.'s 3-on-3 win in overtime the game before. Let's say the U.S. had won in 5-on-5, didn't have to have the 3-on-3 overtime. Let's say none of that happened. Let's say U.S. won. The U.S. wouldn't be complaining about this. For some reason, Canada cares more about this.
Because it's their thing.
I don't think
it's all they
US
have.
Hockey players would care that much.
What do they have in Canada? Syrup and hockey.
And they have some comedians who are very funny.
Again, I don't know. Who?
A lot of them. I don't know. I can't list any of them.
Exactly. They have Terrence and Phillip. Those guys were pretty funny. That's who they have. Terrence and Phillip from South Park. Who would know better about writing Canadian characters than two dudes from Colorado?
Who are also Broncos fans.
Who cares? Smitty says, I didn't watch a single minute of the Olympics, and I really don't care either. But didn't Canada win some overtime games during 3-on-3? Yeah, and they weren't complaining then. The biggest thing is, win it when you have a 5-on-3 power play. That's when you say, that's when you're supposed to win. If you're truly the better team, you take advantage of that moment. But we had a goalie that, I'm sorry, he was wrestling some demons in that game, man. Because he's been given the reputation of kind of like a Clayton Kershaw for the most part. He can't really do it in the playoffs. Well, in some people's eyes, he did it on the biggest stage possible. So Go Poke says, trash him. Like, I don't have an issue with Canada. I grew up watching wrestling, and there's a lot of great Canadians that wrestled that I was a big fan of. Brett the Hitman Hart was Canadian. Big fan of Brett. But you start coming at us saying it was Mickey Mouse rules, then I have to fire back and say, well, you knew about those Mickey Mouse rules. You took advantage of those Mickey Mouse rules. And I'm sorry, 3-on-3 hockey is exhilarating. It is so much fun.
I don't know about you, but I see Canadians basically as also Americans. Like, Canadians to me, like, we're so close and the culture is so similar. They're practically Americans. Well, like, I love them.
I don't know, man. I don't say a boot.
I don't know what the whole beef between the two. Like,
because it's
between
sports hate, Mike. It's healthy to have sports hate.
It is, but
well,
like,
the political beef is that Donald Trump, the president, wants them to be the 51st state.
That's stupid.
Well,
not to get too political, but come on, guys.
I don't get into that stuff. Speaking of political, big vote tonight, Mike. You going to vote?
Maybe.
You are going to vote? City of Greeley, special election. You got to get your ballots in. They got to be in by 7 o'clock tonight.
A yes or else vote, it doesn't count.
A yes vote is removing zoning ordinance 30 of Catalyst. A no vote means to keep existing. No means Eagles are going to go on and plan to be here in Greeley with a water park and all that stuff. A yes vote means they're going to at least pause this thing. Doesn't shut it down completely, but from what Martin Lynn told us, the owner of the Eagles, it would probably take them out of Greeley because he would look at properties in Johnstown and maybe beyond that, or even go back to Fort Collins. So those of you saying, I want to wait and see, I'm just letting you know that a yes vote may, according to this, say that it's it could still happen. Probably not, based on what we've been told.
And it is too late to put it in the mail, so you're going to have to drop it off at one of the drop-off sites.
Yeah, too late to put it in the mail, so you got to go. And if you're confused at all, just go back and listen to any of our podcasts. But no essentially means go, and yes means delay. And a delay maybe means not going to happen.
Yeah, so yes is to Eagles coming. Or no to Eagles coming,
no
and yes
to Eagles coming.
Eagles probably not.
Yes. Yes is no and no is yes.
So that's basically what it is.
Basically.
I don't like the way it was written, but
No, I don't enjoy that either, but it is.
It is what it is. It's up to you guys to decide. So there's your information.
Thank you, Mike. Very good. So anyway, I had to go on that. Had to go on my rant today because it didn't really piss me off that much. Do you have a problem with Nathan McKinnon's comments? Now, again, his full comments were a little more respectful. You know, he did say America's a great team and all that stuff. And I appreciate that. I do. You know, I got a lot of feedback on this. What he actually said, it's been close for a while. You know, they're an amazing, skilled group of players. I just felt like it wasn't going to be. You guys can be the judge of who the better team was tonight, but they won, we lost.
Well, as far as those comments go, I feel like I would be saying those comments if the Broncos really overall better football but didn't take advantage of their opportunities. I would say, oh, the Broncos were the better team. They just lost. So I don't have a problem with those comments.
I just don't like that. I don't like that we were the better team.
It sounds like sour grapes, but I don't know if I have a problem with those comments because maybe they were overall playing better. They just didn't happen to beat the goalie.
Yeah, and right.
Which we've
That's
seen
part
before.
Of the game. Is a goalie a part of the game? A goalie is a great equalizer. I mean, I remember some Patrick Waugh games where the Avs won 1-0. And Patrick Waugh was just amazing. That's part of the game. It's like a great quarterback. Well, we would have won if they didn't have Josh Allen. We would have won if they didn't have Michael Jordan. Team Canada would have won if Connor Hellebuck is not between the pipes. Yes. But I didn't love it. Even when, you know, somebody had sent me, this is really what he said, the full thing. Sure, he said he didn't think it was going to be a great game. And then he says, you guys can be the judge of who the better team was tonight. But they won, we lost. And usually when someone says, I'll let you be the judge. Like at the end of the show today, if I say, who was better, me or Michael, I'll let you be the judge. I am saying, we all know it was me, but I'll let you be the judge. Right?
And the listeners will go, it's Micah.
No, that was zero chance of that ever happening.
100%.
Texter, in all seriousness, why in the world do we need to be so serious about everything? That and Canada sucks at hockey. I love that they believe they were the better team, but not that day. USA, USA, USA. Poor Nate, he's a great silver medalist hockey player. And no disrespect to Nathan McKinnon, man. Like, Nathan McKinnon is a legend. He is probably, depending on who you ask, on the Mount Rushmore of Colorado sports. So I have all the respect in the world for him. I am a fan of his, and I will continue being a fan of his. It was a fun poll question asking, should we be a little pissed at Nate for those comments? If Joker says the same thing. Now, you know me. I was I was pulling for Serbia because I was viewing it as a fan, and I'm a diehard Joker fan. But if Team USA beat them, which they did, and Joker said, I'll let you be the judge who the better team was, I wouldn't be a fan of that either. And I'd be saying, I'd do the exact same poll question. And Serbians would probably come after me. Never had Serbians come after me, Mike, because we are on the same side. So it's all good. But I just find it fascinating. And then you got like certain reporters in Denver that are retweeting stuff saying, why let's just not be sore winners, man. Let's be good sports. Why? Is this not what it's all about? Fans talking trash to each other? That's what we sign up for. Now, I'm not a big trash talker, but I like to have some fun with this, and I had some fun with this during the Four Nations tournament last year, and I'm having some fun with this now. I honestly didn't think I'd get negative feedback from Canadians on the poll question about Nathan McKinnon, but it's fine. You lost in overtime. It is what it is. 25 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. Michael, a lot to talk about today. Garrett Bowles was talking to Sean Keeler from the Denver Post, and he had some interesting things to say about the team culture and how careful the Broncos need to be during this process. So we'll get into that. Tanner Schwint's going to join me in the second hour. There is some news on the Catalyst stuff today. I saw in the Greeley Tribune from Trevor Reed, Martin Lind Company sue City of Greeley to nullify special election. What does that mean? So we will talk to Tanner about that coming up. They were talking about this, discussing this at great length this morning. So we'll get his insight coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
Two dudes, one mission. To provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10. On Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado, there's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Welcome back into The Hull Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. A shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Heating, air conditioning, duct cleaning, they have you covered. There's a reason you're seeing Lemons and Heating vehicles all over the place. Lemons Heating and Cooling, not Lemons and Heating and Cooling. It's not. There's not three ands there. Check them out. Free estimates are available. Find them online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I thought this was an interesting thing in the Denver Post this morning, you know, just going through what Keeler had to write about Garrett Bowles. Broncos Garrett Bowles, the NFL's best protector and an Eagle Scout, he notes, has earned his merit badges. Trustworthy and loyal to the last, Bowles has helped set the tone for the defending AFC West champs. What did he have to say about this upcoming offseason, which we all believe is going to be very busy for the Broncos? He said, we need guys to come into that locker room that have a great attitude. We need them to have a work ethic to come in here and fit into our culture, because our culture is special. And when you have a great culture, you don't want to put somebody in it where they can ruin it. This goes to another story on the A.J. Brown idea. Now, Sirianni is already saying, I'm not going to guarantee that A.J. Brown is back with the Eagles in 26. Obviously, A.J. Brown seemed a little upset, a little disgruntled during his time, especially lately, with the Philadelphia Eagles. There was an idea thrown out there by Barnwell that, you know, you could trade for A.J. Brown, maybe trade a Riley Moss for A.J., and at the time, I'm kind of cool with it. But I got to admit, we've been saying this on the show a lot, Mike. Do you dare mess with the chemistry? Do you bring in a wide receiver that is going to be kind of a me guy and put a little extra pressure on a guy like Bo Nix? There's a couple of schools of thought there. There's one that says, you know, he can handle it, and it's only going to make him better. But when you actually have Garrett saying, we want to be really careful, man. We don't want to disrupt this locker room. Does hearing his comments, Michael, make you second guess the idea of bringing in an A.J. Brown? Or if George Pickens doesn't get the franchise tag, which we believe he's going to, does it make you second guess the, hey, just bring in talent, that's what we need right now?
No, because I've always kind of been feeling this way, especially hearing more and more about how great this locker room is. If you start getting poison and that one person starts poisoning other people, that's a problem. But this locker room being what it is, being so tight, I'd rather start fixing the problems that we have now rather than reaching for a vial of acid and hoping you don't spill it.
What? That was a strange journey we went on there, Mike.
Vial of acid being that wide receiver that that if he doesn't get 90 receptions and 150 yards this season is
going
to whine.
Probably what you're going to get with A.J. Brown is probably what you're going to get with a top-tier wide receiver. Is do I think Bo is going to change his approach if he has a guy that's basically like, make sure you get me the ball?
I would hope not.
You would just hope he's not forcing it to one guy because, you know, they're paying him big money and he feels extra pressure to keep this guy happy and knows that he could take to the socials or whatever. And I doubt it, but this isn't Josh Allen, who had to deal with Diggs for a while, and that obviously became a source of frustration, but Josh Allen's Josh Allen. I do believe that a guy like Sean Payton won't put up with a lot of nonsense, and but what is the line of nonsense that you're not willing to put up with? Because if you bring a guy like this in, you obviously absorb his contract, or if you sign a free agent receiver that has had some tendencies to be a little bit of a diva, there's going to be pressure on you as a coach to play those guys, even if they get a little frustrated from time to time. But reading these comments from Garrett, it's like that's something that's definitely on their minds, and he's considered one of the team's leaders, obviously, and he's saying, "Hey, that's my advice." You know, Keeler writes in his first line in the post, while Sean Payton was jetting to the scouting combine, his left tackle was hanging out with Boy Scouts. And that was his advice to Sean Payton, to George Payton, as we approach the offseason. Faith says A.J. Brown is a typical diva wide receiver. So that doesn't startle you a bit? That doesn't concern you? Just bring in a guy that's going to put up big numbers, but at what cost? And I'm kind of to the point now where your culture is going to outweigh any new guy that comes in. And if you want to win, which the Broncos might be a piece away, Mike. They might be one player away. I think that's fair to say. I know that they have a big grocery list. I know, especially on the offensive side, there are three key positions that they need to fill, and that's tight end, that's running back, and that's wide receiver. But if they get one of those guys, that's elite, and there are several of them in free agency. Does that take the Broncos from a AFC championship team that lost by just a field goal to with a backup quarterback? Does that take them to the next level? I'd like to think so. There's still something in my brain that's waiting to see if Bo is really that guy, because I know there's a lot of media members that are crowning him already. And I even know you, being the biggest Broncos fanatic in the history of awkward, strange worlds, you even admit, we need to see another year, and probably a year where it's not just fourth quarter comebacks, but he's going to have those still, and he's going to have bad games. But more often than not, he's good from the first quarter through the fourth. And that is something we haven't seen just yet. In fact, that Patriots game reminded me a lot of what I saw throughout the course of the season with the Broncos and Bo. Elite defense that kept you in games. The difference in this one was crazy snow at the end, and you didn't have Bo Nix in there to do something funky in the fourth, and I don't even know if he would have. Both teams were pretty much content punting the ball back and forth to each other. So I'm not entirely convinced, like everyone else is in this state, that insert Bo Nix and it's a win. Does he have the turnover that Stidham had? The backwards pass fumble thing? Probably not that specific play, but who are we to sit here and say he wouldn't have thrown an ill-timed interception? It's not like he was invincible of that. So you're still in a grow mode with Bo. Are you better off filling it with guys like, I don't know, Isaiah Likely's name keeps coming up, who's the second tight end in Baltimore to Mark Andrews? Are you better off going with a tight end who, and I don't know Likely's off-the-field stuff. I don't know if he's, I don't think he's been any kind of a problem in Baltimore. You typically don't see that amongst tight ends, right? You don't have a lot of diva tight ends out there. There's not necessarily a ton of diva running backs out there. Wide receiver position, fair or unfair, gets that tag. So are you better off putting the full court press on bringing in a stud tight end and or running back and avoiding the whole wide receiver mess altogether? Are you that confident that Marvin Mims, who at times looks very good, at times is forgotten, Troy Franklin, who certainly had a better year this year, or certainly had a better year as the season kind of went along, are you better off just letting those guys ride it out, let those guys grow? You obviously have Cortland Sutton coming back. Is it better to just sit back, fill other positions of need, since there are questions? Like, what is the most important position of need for the Broncos? And I don't necessarily think it's wide receiver. I think it's tight end. And I know I signed off on the A.J. Brown thing, but when team captains like Garrett Bowles start talking like that, it does make me kind of go, man, we're all saying it on the air, but it's clear that the leaders of this team really value what they've built with that culture in the locker room. Are you better off just growing with your current list of wide receivers and maybe not getting too aggressive? Do you think Pat Bryant can take that next step? Odds are one of them will, right? Marvin Mims, Troy Franklin, Pat Bryant? Or are you kind of giving up on some of that idea and you want to bring in a clear number one, put Cortland Sutton number two, and then everyone kind of moves down the depth chart, so to speak? Big questions, man. It's a big offseason because you are in a critical time. This is your Super Bowl window, and you're not paying Bo Nix crazy quarterback money. Will we get to that? If he has another year like last year, we will. Even if it's just fourth quarter comebacks, if their record says it, shows it, and his stats show it, then you're going to be paying him top dollar quarterback money, and you're not going to be able to afford all these other shiny objects in the next 2 to 3 years. So you're likely going to sign a couple of guys to 2 to 3 year type of contracts. This is the time to act. This is the time to fill those positions of need to take the next step and get to the Super Bowl. John says, if you had to draft a wide receiver in April, which one would you draft? Well, and that's going to be interesting too, because I've got a couple of names, guys like, we got the combine coming up too, and there's a few dudes to look at, but one I was reading about this morning actually, and I've seen him play a couple of times, but that's Zachariah Branch, the wide receiver out of Georgia. He might be kind of interesting. He's fast as hell. He's 5'10", 180 pounds though. So you kind of have those receivers. That's certainly a name that I'd think about. I still like the idea of packaging up, maybe trading a lot to move up a bit to get a Kenyon Sadiq, the tight end out of Oregon. 43 minutes after the hour, we'll dive more into the draft and everything kind of as we progress. But that was one of the receivers that maybe is not getting a lot of the talk that might make sense in Denver. Right now, Mike, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Big game tonight for the Colorado State Rams. It's going up. You're going up against Fresno State, who's not amazing, but that's a team that beat you a while back. And that was the game after they lost to Fresno State. I remember I posted and said, let's just call it what it is, man. This is probably an average team right now. And then they lost to Boise State, and then they lost a few other games, Utah State, San Diego State, and then they lost to Wyoming. And at that point, it was in my mind, I was convinced it's just not going to be a great basketball team. Now, Fresno State comes into this one. They lost their last two. They lost to Wyoming. They lost a close game to New Mexico. So it's a revenge game for the Rams, but this one doesn't necessarily look like it's going to be an easy one for Colorado State. But man, I'm excited to see what the Rams can do. Ali Faroukhmanesh, get this, now has the fourth most wins by a first-year head coach at CSU. He has 17. He's two wins away from moving into a tie with Richie McKay, who did it in 1998-99. He had 19. Larry Eustace holds the record with 26 in 2012. He did that in 2012. 26 and then, yeah. I believe I'm reading that right. Yeah. Larry Eustace holds the record with 26. 26 wins in his first year with the Rams. But this would be obviously Ali's first job. So for him to come out of this with at least, I mean, guaranteed 17 wins, but he could get into the 20s, and then who knows what, you know, what they could end up doing in the Mountain West tournament. They have four games to go. So it's, listen, man, either way you want to slice this, this has been a very good year and a very encouraging year for Ali Faroukhmanesh, because I'm not entirely convinced that this is an amazing roster like we've seen the past 3 or 4 years under CSU, under Nico Medved.
In your opinion, is this better than you were expecting?
Good question. Now it is. Now it is. I thought they would be... Okay, to start the season, I thought they'd probably finish in the top 4 or 5. I thought they'd be above Grand Canyon. Maybe above UNLV. So probably worse than what I originally expected to start the year, but that's based on nothing, Mike. That was like, I don't know who all these players are with all the transfers. Barely knew who the CSU guys were.
Didn't even know who Steiner was.
Didn't even know who I knew who he was. I didn't know his lineage. I Steinered it, and I still kick myself. I sat across from him at a golf course, Michael, and we could have talked wrestling instead of basketball.
He could have body slammed you
for 15 minutes. And instead, I didn't make the connection, even though somehow I do recall that hitting my brain, and I just forgot about it. Because he's Rex Steiner, and I remember Scott Steiner. So, yeah, that still kills me. But I didn't know what to expect of this team. And then as the season kind of rolled on, you know, once they got into Mount West play, I thought, okay, my expectations now are, can you just have a winning record? Can you have a winning record? And so to answer that question, it's kind of convoluted. It's maybe kind of what I expected. It's just they're going on a nice run here as of late, making up for some of the games I thought they should have had earlier. 51 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. We'll go through some of those wide receivers in the first round. Who's gettable for Denver without making any trades? Tanner Schwint's going to join us in the second hour as well. Big vote tonight. You want the Eagles in town or not? That's kind of the way I'm simplifying that. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
You're the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
All right, coming up next, we'll get into our top stories of the day. Also, Tanner Schwint, one of the hosts of Good Morning NoCo, will join us. He's been following this Cascadia story very closely, so maybe he can explain what's going on, because another wrinkle has been thrown into this. Just a few hours before everything needs to be turned in for this very important vote in G-Town. Top stories coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.